I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. What's the news about black men in America? On the one hand, Barack Obama's historic bid for the White House and other achievers like him, making waves in politics, business, science, and sports. On the other hand, disproportionately high incarceration rates, high school dropout numbers, high rates of HIV/AIDS infection. Playwright Daniel Beatty wanted to talk about it all. He tries to in his latest play, Resurrection. It's having its world premiere in Arlington, Virginia, at the temporary headquarters of Washington, D.C.'s Arena Stage. The play explores the lives of six African-American males in each decade of life, from age 10 to 60. They all have different struggles, but in different ways, they all confront the question of what it means to be a black man in America. I'm pleased to welcome Daniel Beatty, the playwright, and Jeffrey Thompson, who plays the character of the bishop. I welcome you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Now, Daniel, I understand you had an unusual inspiration for this play, the 2007 National Urban League report on the state of black America. Now, this is different. I've never heard of a policy report inspiring a work of art, but tell me about that.
Well, absolutely. As an artist, my purpose is transforming pain into power, and my work has a social political edge. And so in this play, I really wanted to look at the issues of black men in America. And this book was a series of scholarly essays about the issues facing black men in America, as well as statistics. The foreword was actually written by Barack Obama. What I did was I took the issues that the book outlined, and I created a fictional character to embody, personify each of the issues. And what I was really interested in is showing a community of men looking at these challenges straight in the face, but ultimately telling a story of possibility and of resurrection.
As you mentioned, there are six characters in the play, and their lives all intersect in some way because they all have roots in the same neighborhood. Tell us about some of the situations, some of their life circumstances.
Absolutely. Well, with us as well, we have the character of the bishop, who's 60, and he runs a mega church. The 50-year-old runs a health food store in the hood. The 40-year-old is the vice president of marketing for a major music company and is the bishop's son. The 30-year-old is an ex-con who's reintegrating into society. The 20-year-old is a young man who was dyslexic and was misdiagnosed as just being slow, but who's now graduating and on his way to Morehouse. And the 10-year-old is the 50-year-old who runs the health food store, son, and he's a child scientist, and he's working on a special herbal iced tea that he has a secret mission that he's trying to accomplish.
Jeffrey, you play Bishop,
yes, I do.
Pastor of a megachurch, and he is struggling with an addiction. I want to play a short clip.
I abuse myself with food and this stomach. Can't stand my stomach. Now, it'd be different if it was just this little tired. Okay, big tire around my waist. But found out last week, this old car, it's got sugar in its tank. Type 2 diabetes. And that could put me in the shop and bring this old locomotive to a full stop. The devil is evil and will attack any way he can. I got to change what I eat. But I can't help it. I love me some ho-hos and soul food. I love me some soul food.
Now, you know, we're all laughing, but this character is fascinating. Jeffrey, how did you got some of the biggest laughs of the night, mm-hmm. but it's also one of the most difficult struggles.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Michelle, what I think, part of what there is the brilliance of the playwriting. Each of the men, as you say, have their challenge and what their struggle. Some of them are dangerous and put us on our guard immediately.
But characters we recognize.
We recognize.
You know, the addict, the ex-con.
And what Daniel did with the bishop is that he presents something that we look at and think, well, this is kind of funny. This guy says he has an addiction. Well, it turns out his addiction is to something as funny as the words ho-hos. And so he allows you to come into this man's life and get to know him, and you get to feel comfortable with him. And then suddenly you find out the seriousness of what's going on in this man's life. Very often at the end of a show, I'm greeted by people along every spectrum of race and age, and they tell me that they identify very closely with what's happening to the bishop. You know, we talk about a country in which obesity is suddenly became, you know, at one point it felt like a pop, you know, standard. Every other word was about child obesity and what we're going to do about it in the country.
But how did you avoid that trope of, you know, the jolly big man? The jolly big man who takes care of everybody else, but, you know, is at the end of the day sort of an object of pity. How did you avoid that?
For me, he's a very real person. You know, I'm an obese man myself, so I know that this is a serious problem that you have to address. And it was very important to me that the humor is always there, and I'm not ever afraid to play it, as long as that there was going to be a point where I could actually let you also know that this is a man living with pain. That's one of the issues. The other issue, he's a man of power who in the large world, he's able to administer to and bring healing to many, many people. He does great, great work in that way. But there's a hole in his own heart, both about his eating and his addiction and about his relationship with his son. That, again, to me, comes back to what we see it now, and we see it in politics. You see, when you go from the public persona to the personal persona, the person behind that, all the grandeur, what, you know, what is their story? What is their pain?
Daniel, I find this very fascinating because this issue of obesity in the African-American community is such a significant health issue. But as a work of art to address it so directly, I just found very unusual. And when that issue is addressed, it's usually in women, mm-hmm. not in men. I'm just curious about what was the process of coming up with this idea and giving it life as a character.
Well, with this character, as I endeavor to do with all of the characters, I'm interested in archetype. And I mean very specifically archetype and not stereotype. So I'm interested in creating a character initially that we recognize, that's familiar to us, that's a person we know from the community, that's father, brother. So we see the bishop, we recognize him. But what I do is that I then take that archetype and I try to show a deeper, more heartfelt expression. And the only way I could accomplish discussing these challenging issues and not be didactic or preachy was to really show multidimensional human beings. And we all have contradictions. We are incredibly brave at times and we are afraid. We do the thing that's very healthy for us and then we do the thing that's not. There are places where we're able to be incredibly loving and there are places where we withhold. And so I tried to find these places in this character as well as the others.
Is this hard, though, for you, Jeffrey, if you don't mind my asking?
Sure.
You are a large man
sure.
yourself, and you're talking about some very painful and difficult mm-hmm. things every night
yeah.
in this play. Is that a challenge for you? Are you feeling, I don't know, indicted or exposed or vulnerable?
I'm going to tell you, it's something very interesting, because I grew up in a household where I was always told that I was, first of all, beautiful. I was always told that I was talented, all these sort of things. So I have kind of a good self-image. But the place where I'm most challenged are not the places that have anything to do with the weight issue, is the places that have to do with the father-son relationship. Those are places where I feel a great deal of pain because I feel like it's another great issue that it doesn't get examined nearly enough in our community. And some of the response that we get back from the people who gather to see the show sometimes is a little frightening. You know, some of the things that I say are extremely homophobic, and to hear them sort of amend is kind of scary.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Daniel Beatty and Jeffrey Thompson about the new play, Resurrection. I want to talk about another character, Bishop's son, Isaac. This is a character I think a lot of people who are familiar with current, you know, black popular culture will understand. Mm-hmm. He's got a hidden life. He's a successful executive, but his hidden struggle is that he's gay and he doesn't want anyone to know, especially not his father and his community. This is a character, again, this type of struggle is one that we've been introduced to in a number of sort of popular culture vehicles. Do you think you had something new to say here?
Well, one of the things that I really wanted to do is I wanted to show the conversation between the father and the son around this issue and get to the point where they get as close to talking about it as they possibly can. And I feel that that is new. We do see that, and we have seen it in some stories of white families, but I personally have not seen it, you know, in the context of the church and of the black family, at least not explored in a way that I felt was really layered and very honest. Another thing with that character that I also was endeavoring to do with this play is show the internal landscape of black men. I feel that a lot of the characters of black men that we see in our media are very stereotypical. And I consciously have these characters often talking to the audience directly, almost like a Shakespearean soliloquy, working out their contradictions, working out their pain. And also, so I feel that's a way that this character of the 40-year-old, the down-low corporate executive, is new, because he actually has the opportunity to reveal his heart and his conflict to the audience and ask them to understand.
And I want to talk about Eric, the youngest character. And I must tell you, that that little boy who plays him is a amazing. And his character, he's I don't know how would you put this, he seems to be carrying the weight of the world on Absolutely. His shoulders. Is that how you see children today, Daniel?
One of the quotes that I reference is that the eyes of the future are looking back at us, begging us to consider the world we're leaving for them. And our children see everything. I know I grew up in a household that was very dysfunctional. My father was a heroin addict in and out of prison. My brother was addicted to crack cocaine. And I was a quiet kid and doing my best to do well in school and be my mother's joy. But I saw everything. And I remember constantly saying to myself, it was a constant mantra in my head, there's got to be something better than this. There's got to be something better than this. And so this young man also believes that there's something better, and he's determined to do something about it. So he's creating his special herbal iced tea, taking the herbs from his father's health food store, and he's trying to come up with a special potion, a cure for the aching hearts of black men. And whether we acknowledge that our children are carrying the weight of the world on them or not, the reality is they are. They are deeply, deeply impacted by the choices we make.
I want to play a short clip of Eric. Here he is with Twan, who is the character who's recently graduated from high school after some struggle and who's on his way to college. Here it is.
I'm dyslexic, but I got some exercises to help me figure it out.
Well, I made something for you, if you want to try it.
What is it?
It's my special herbal iced tea. Made some just for you.
What'd you put in it?
Kava Kava to help you relax, little characters to strengthen your eyes, and Gota Cola to focus your mind.
It works. We sit and read and sip on his special herbal iced tea. We all got something in us, but that little kid's a genius.
The relationships among the men are also very powerful to watch. Jeffrey, was it, people always wonder, who are not actors, sure. always wonder, is it really like that? You know, yeah. Are you all really that kind of intense connection that you show on stage? Something you developed
Stage? I think you do. First of all, specifically for this play, there's a great joy in actors coming together to begin with. Actors come together, and out of what I call mutual agreement, you create something that really doesn't exist. You create a world that exists because you all come together and say, okay, this is real for this amount of time. So that's what actors do to begin with. But then when you're brought together because you have either a piece or a project that touches your own heart. I'm touched by this piece in a couple of different ways. One, I love the poetry of it. I like doing Daniel's play for the same reason I love doing Shakespearean plays. Not everybody can write words that another person can take and turn into actual conversation. Daniel has the wonderful gift of being able to do that. He also, in this process, had the challenge of sitting down and watching us during the process of learning it mangle his words. You know, Shakespeare doesn't have to come and watch you mess up what he wrote. You know, Daniel was put through that process by us. And also, we haven't spoken of him yet. Oz Scott, who was our director, created an environment in which we felt safe to go to those places that we very often keep covered and hidden.
And I'm glad you mentioned Oz Scott, because Oz Scott also is known for having directed For Colored Girls, mm-hmm. Who've Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough on Broadway, which is, of course, a very well-known work with an all-female ensemble cast that also deals with some very significant issues of that at the time were not spoken about. I'm just wondering if he ever raised that experience in directing you, and you think it affected the way he directed this all-male cast.
I think that the fact that he had such success in directing that show is a testament to why we feel as successful as we feel in this show. He allowed them to take the beautiful poetry that Ntozake had written and to turn that into the imagery that spoke beyond the page. A group of more than seven men, but when you consider how many people were usually in the room, but men who would, in the midst of a rehearsal, start talking about, you know, became a barbershop where, you know, an issue would bring up something and something that somebody said would remind them of their uncle, brother, son, whatever it was. So that environment of comradeship, I think, really, really definitely helped to nurture a wonderful feeling among the guys, so that when we show up every day, you know, half hour before the show begins, we know we're getting ready to take a journey over the next 90 minutes that's going to involve us going to places of pain, involve us going to places of searching, as well as, I said, those wonderful places of both joy and comedy. But we can do that, and we enjoy doing that with each other because we have that sense of safety.
Danny, you have so many ideas in this play. Was there anything that you had to leave out?
I don't think so. I write a variety of ways. Sometimes I, you know, just write instinctively. This play was, I was very conscious about what my intent was with this work. And so I actually was very detailed in my outline and, you know, who each man would be and how they were connected to one another. So I had the benefit of creating the characters, the number of characters in the world that would encompass the ideas that I wanted to discuss.
Daniel Beatty's new play is Resurrection. It can be seen at the Arena Stage in Arlington, Virginia through October 5th. It then travels to the Hartford Stage through November. Daniel Beatty was kind enough to join us from our New York Bureau. Actor Jeffrey Thompson, who plays Bishop, joined us from our studio in Washington. For more information about Resurrection, please visit our website at npr.org/tellmemore. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having us, Michelle.
Thank you very
wonderful.
Much.
Thank you so much.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.